You have the sheet from last time, from the letters? I think we were page 275. Okay, do you have it, Alyssa? In view of this, we must conceive revelation not only under the aspect of transcendental voluntarism, the fact of God's revealed will imposed upon a charismatic community which accepted it under stress of overwhelming and omnipotent divine authority, but also under the aspect of transcendental intellectualism, God having revealed a method, a modus cogitandi, a logic, a singular approach to reality, which the community, instead of accepting, had to learn, to understand, to convert into an instrument of comprehension of which man, notwithstanding his frailty and limitations, could avail himself. On the first level, God appears to the members of his community as king and commands them. On the second, as teacher and instructs them. So the flow this is really remarkably a sort of condensed presentation of a major part of Yishalof, not its entirety, but a major part of it. So the flow is as follows. Once one recognizes that halacha is not simply a legal system which is a system of laws needed to regulate behavior in society, but is an ideal system, a world of ideas, so then it follows that Matan Torah and Kabbalah's Torah was not only, again, revealing a code of law that we have to abide by. If that's what it were, then Talmud Torah would involve mastery of a corpus of law. And that would be the extent of Talmud Torah. So to master the tax code. So you have to abide by it, and therefore you need to master that corpus of law. But hayos, that Torah, that halacha, is again an ideal system. It's a world of ideas with its own internal logic and way of thinking. So that means that Matan Torah and Kabbalah's Torah is also accepting that way of thinking. So it's, again, not just a commitment to abide. Of course it is that. Of course it is that. But it's not only a commitment to abide by Mitzvah Kalik of Chamur Dikduke Halacha. Of course it is that. It is that. 100% it is that. But it's more than that as well. It's accepting a way of thought, because Torah, again, isn't just a system of laws to regulate behavior, but it's a world of ideas with its own internal Torah logic and Torah way of thinking. So that means that there's, again, two aspects to Kabbalah Satara: a commitment to live by halacha, to live by Torah, but a commitment to think, to enter that world of thought and ideas, which is Torah, which is halacha. That's what the Rav says on the first level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears as a melech who's mitzaveh, and on the second, there's the Berakas HaTorah, is a melame Torah, the Amo Yisrael. Thus, the halachic a priori thinking was humanized, conditioned to man's mentality and embedded in finitude and concreteness. Meaning it was then given, because that's part of Kabbalah HaTorah, it was given to Chachmei HaTorah, Chachmei HaMasorah, to adopt, to cultivate, to internalize that Torah way of thinking, which is axiomatic to the world of ideas of Torah, of Halacha. Man's response to the great halachic challenge asserts itself not only in blind acceptance of the divine imperative, right? Not just in terms of kiyum hamitzvos, but also in assimilating a transcendental content disclosed to him through an apocalyptic revelation and in fashioning it to his particular needs. Therefore, it is absurd to say that halachic research consists in the remember the all the last time about the Rav in English as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, it is absurd to say that halachic research consists in the study of texts. Instead, it is a creative performance. Again, if halacha would be a system of laws to regulate behavior, so then Talmud Torah would be, again, mastery of a corpus of law. But since halacha is a world of ideas, so that Talmud Torah then is a creative performance. The text serves only as an auxiliary, as a frame of reference. The real halacha noesis, thought, realizes itself through pure thought and ideation. The scholar does not have to guess the opinions of others, nor even to divine the will of some heavenly court of justice. In the halachic field, man is vested with absolute authority. No one can overrule his judgment. The prophet who intervenes in halachic matters is severely punished. So this, again, we saw this in section Zion, Ish Halach as well. So the Rav has this extraordinary explanation of Lava Shamayim. Like this Lava Shamayim is a Gzeirah Chasuv. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, for whatever reason, you know, the Giloy ends with through Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, and henceforth, so halachic decisions are going to be made in Be'ez and Shalmata. Okay, nothing problematic about it. And the Rav explains what the depth and what that din reflects. Now, Hegel's lu yehi, that again, that halacha was just a body of law, a corpus of law. So Lama Shemayim is a din, it's a gzeirah chasuv. But since, again, Torah, halacha, using them in this context synonymously, is a world of ideas, and that Matan Torah, Kabbalah's Torah, was also that a way of, the Torah was given not only to be observed, but it was given to be studied. If halacha, if Torah is again a legal system which comes to regulate behavior, that's what it is. So that's the extent of what it is. Okay, so then Kabbalah HaTorah, in terms of Torah being given, so Torah was given to be observed. But if Torah is a world of ideas, and then Torah was given not only to be observed, but to be thought, to be understood, to be learned. So then part of Kabbalah HaTorah is that it's no longer Vashamayim. The same way the observance of Torah on the practical level is in this world, so the Talmud Torah is in this world also. Now that's the depth which the Rav reveals here in Lo Vashamayim. That's the flow here. Right, the flow from on page 274, explaining how it's a world of ideas, to explaining that now that there are two dimensions to Matan Torah and Kabbalah HaTorah, to then the next stage is understanding how Lo Vashamayim he flows from that. It results from that. That's clear what I'm saying? Yes? No? For the halacha, Torah Shebaal Peh was given to man and is both a monologue and the colloquy of the many. It is as unique and revealing as speech itself. Or it could be a little bit, then we'll try to understand. While the scientific eidos of the Platonic strain is universal, the halachic eidos is wrapped in singularity and separateness. Masorah, the foundation of halacha, is not a didactic, technical, abstract business, but a personal life here, a dialogue of souls, a miracle of transmigration of great experiences, an exchange of word and response in full intimacy. There is an extraordinary feature of again, the Rambam depicts it in terms of the original Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu until Chasimus HaTalmud. It remains true in a different sense after Chasimus HaTalmud. But the Rambam writes as follows in his Hakdama. He has it both in the Hakdama to Perush Mishnayos, as well as the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. The Rambam, again, just so we don't get distracted by this point in reading these few lines, the Rambam holds that the din of Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yeter Rashai L'Omer B'Chsav wasn't a din that you weren't that you didn't write Torah Shebaal Peh down, but that you didn't. It wasn't taught mitoch haksav. You didn't publish a sefer for people to learn Torah from the sefer. That the masorah of Torah was Baal Peh, but it was permissible and was the case that people would take notes for themselves to protect against shechacha, but you couldn't share those notes with anyone because the teaching, the transmitting, was Baal Peh. That's what I think the Achronim then say based on this Rambam. That's what it means when the Gemara speaks of Megillah Storim. They found a Megillah Storim. What's a Megillah Storim? There was this hidden parchment. What was the hidden parchment? No, it's in your head notes, so you couldn't lend those notes to anyone. So they would be hidden away so that it was only for the person who had wrote those notes. So the Rambam is writing how things were until Rabbeinu HaKadosh came along. Umimos Moshe v'ad Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Rambam usually everything is so doing here. It's in a flood mode. The Rambam usually refers to Moshe as Moshe Rabbeinu. Here he says Mimos Moshe v'ad Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So what happened to Moshe's honorific? No, you can't use Rabbeinu in the same phrase about Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi. If you're going to say Rabbeinu HaKadosh, so then you can't use Rabbeinu about Moshe. So then you just go with Godol Merav and Shemo, and you just say Moshe. But you can't use the same Torah in the same sentence about Moshe Rabbeinu and someone else in a different sentence, in a different context. So you can speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, you can speak about Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or in any other. Okay, you're using the word differently, but in the same sentence, back to back, it's like the Gemara says that we don't mention you can't mention in the same breath Malchus Shemayim and Malchus Beis David in the third bracha of benching, because it's fundamentally different things. That's why, with the exception of Rosh Hashanah, so the Rav was makpid at the end of Yalav Yalav. You don't say Kikel Melech Chanun Barachamata in benching, because you can't mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Melech in the same bracha, which is about Malchus Beis David. You can't say Melech about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Malchus Beis David in the same context. So Lahavdil, obviously here we're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Lahavdil. The Rambam doesn't want to say Moshe Rabbeinu and then Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Tav Kedai Dibon. Everything is Meduyak Ad Ma'od. Mimos Moshe Vanu Ben HaKadosh V'chibu Chibu Shemalam Den Oso B'Rabim B'Torah Shabal Peh El B'Chol Dov Ado Rosh Bezen O Novi Shia B'Oso Ado Kosev La'atzmo. That's what we just mentioned before. Kosev La'atzmo Zichron B'Shmuos Shashoma Zikoron Bishmuos Shashama me Rabosov, Vahuma Lamed Alpe Barabim. The Chain Kol Echod Echod Kosev Laatsmo Kifi Kocho mi Bio Hatora Ume Hilcho Seha. He wrote his own Chidushim. People used to write their own Chidushim down, that they shouldn't forget their own Chidushim. The Chain Kol Echod Echod Kosev Laatsmo Kifi Kocho mi Bio Hatora Ume Hilcho Seha Kamo Shashama Umi Dvorim Shen Nishad Shu Bechol Dor Vador. The Rambam says, in every generation, there were chidushim. In every generation, there were chidushim. In Perush Mishnayos, he makes the same point. It's quite extraordinary. The Kashrut Meis Yeshua bin Nun Olav HaShalom Limed L'Zkenim Ma Shekibel Min HaPerush. So Yeshua transmitted to the next generation everything that he was mekabel perushim mekubalim from Moshe Rabbeinu. Umash shehotzio bizmano min hadinim and also new dinim, but nafal of machlokas. Vasha nafal of machlokas poskibol hadin al pi al rov haskenim. Va'achre chayin limdu hazakenim haheim. Masha kiblu mipi Yoshua al neviim ham neviim alayam mashalom v'han neviim limdu zelaza. Here comes the line of Rosai. V'ein zman shelo hoya bo his bonenos v'chidush en yanim. V'hoyu chachme kol dor mesimim divre hakodmim ikar. V'hoyu lomdim mehem u'mechad shem en yanim. The Chidush and Masora for the Rambam are two sides of a coin. The Masora of transmitting all the Perushim Kubalim from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, plus what previous generations understood and discovered by applying Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Bahen. Transmitting, but in every generation, then there was also chiddush, because that's integral, again to Talmud Torah. That's what the Rav is. But once there's chiddush, so then chiddush means that Masorah is not a didactic, technical, abstract business. Meaning, it's an encyclopedia. Okay, but it was an oral encyclopedia instead of a written encyclopedia. So that would be a didactic, technical, abstract business. But a personal affair, a dialogue of souls, a miracle of transmigration of great experiences, an exchange of word and response in full intimacy. Creativity is bound up with with individuality. That's what the Rebbe is talking about. That Torah as a world of ideas means that, again, it's not just transmitting, not just being a infallible tape recorder that transmits information. It is that as well. It is that as well. But again, it's also because of the nature of halacha, of Torah, this world of ideas, it's something which is creative, and creativity is inseparable from the individuality of the Chachmei HaMasorah. Like, how do you have machlokas? How do Rav and Shmuel come to different conclusions? How do Abai and Rav come to different conclusions? So they're both dealing with the same revealed corpus of Torah, which they've totally mastered. And then, based on that, they're both operating with the same midos hatan and drashas b'chan. Let's leave aside ribui and miut and focus on kol prat u'kol. They're both operating with the same midos hatan and drashas b'chan. So how do you have machlokas? Because there is an intangible, again, subjective, not in the sense of lack of rigor, but subjective in the sense of, at the end of the day, so Abaye understands the Yesod Hadin in one way and makes one comparison, thinks you should extrapolate this way, and rather things differently. All Rashis are beautiful, but in our context, there's a beautiful Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim by David Shomer. So the Torah explicitly tells us what the dinim are of Hashem Asachar, and Hashawala. Again, once you match up the first two Parshas, which is Shamachinim, which is Shamasachar, as Chazal do, so then the Torah has Shamachinim, Shamasachar, and Shaw. And then the Torah says very cryptically, Im Socher Hu Bar, what if the person is a Socher? He's neither Shamachinim, nor Shamasachar, nor Shaw, but he's a Socher. So Rashi says that the Torah doesn't say that the Torah wasn't mefarish dino. Well, the fichach nechlegu bo chachmei Yisrael, and therefore you have machlokes with Meir and Rabbi Yehuda whether the socher is dino kishamachinam that is only chayiv and pshia, or whether dino kisocher that is chayiv and gneva aveda as well. So Talmud Torah is, again, inherently and intrinsically creative, and creativity is inextricably bound up with individuality, and that's how Reb Meir will operate with the same revealed halachas and the same Yiddish Hatan Dashas Ben Reb Yehuda, and they'll come to different conclusions. Because creativity is bound up with individuality. Even creativity on its most basic level, on its most elementary level, just how two people express the same idea, right? If two students hand in the same paper verbatim, so obviously, there's some kind of cheating here. Either they both use the same program, or one of them did the program, the other one took it from the other one. But it's impossible for two people, even again, if it's an answer to a math problem, so two people will give the same answer to 2 + 2, hopefully. But outside of that, it's impossible in language, two people, because even that is, again, it's not creativity on the level of Chidush Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi Al Rambam. It's not creativity on that level. It's not the creativity of a vine rather, but there's an element of creativity just using words to express a thought is a creative act. And no two people, whenever there's creativity, there's individuality. So that's what the Rav says. He knows that the creativity is intrinsic to Talmud Torah, because halacha isn't just a code of law, but it's this dynamic world of ideas. So then Memela, Masorah is not a didactic, technical, abstract business, but a personal affair, a dialogue of souls, a miracle of transmigration of great experiences. So that's what it means, that you're encountering the individual in the Chiddush HaTorah. You know, there's a famous Yerushalmi in Shkolim that the Achronim quote. It says, "Ein osin nefashos latzadikim." Nefesh is sometimes used the Lashon Chazal to mean a matzeva. That ein osin, you have that usage. Ein osin nefashos latzadikim, because deveim hein hein zechronim. Okay, so like this, you figure, you know, okay, so you don't have to memorialize the person with a stone. And, you know, in the cemetery, he's memorialized with, you know, his sefer is on the is on the bookshelf. Or if he didn't write a sefer, so the shmuas, the people repeat mipi shmua. But according to the Rav, it goes much deeper. No, because in Devrayhem, you can't encounter the person. Because again, the creativity is inseparable from individuality. So what better zikaron is there? What better zikaron is there than interacting with the Devrayhem? Here, what the Rav is doing is summarizing, and this is the most famous passage in all the Rav's writings, because people like it for what they see, for its soap opera quality. They sort of don't pay attention to what the context is, and what the Rav is expressing. Zuchurani, in this edition of Isha Halacha and Uvikashta Misham, so this is in Uvikashta Misham on page 230. Zuchurani kad havina talya, when I was a little boy, nar galmud ubodeh ha'yisi, I was a lonely and solitary child. I was afraid of the world. The world was a cold and strange place. It seemed to me like everything was scoffing at me. I had one friend. Don't laugh at me, Haramba. My only childhood friend was the Rambam. Echet yadadno, how did we become friends? Pashut nefgashnu, we met. Oveach kavua hayu haRambam beveitenu. The Rambam was a regular guest in our house. Hayamim, the days that I'm reminiscing about, yimei smichat abu moria shulchano shal saba, hagon echoser of Eliel Feinstein, ish prujana. When my father was being supported by his father-in-law living in his house, Veli Prozhina. Abba yashav v'lamad Torah v'yom v'layla. Chabura lo gedola v'yoter, shal avechim u'bachurim mitzuyanim hitlakta elav, they gathered around him, v'shateta v'tzama advarav. Shi'urav shal Abba yinitanim b'traklin shal beis Saba, the living room, wherever, of my grandfather's house. Sham amda mitate, where my bed was. Darki haita l'shavet b'mitati, I would sit on my bed, ul'hazin l'devei Abba, and I would listen to my father. Abba mori diber tamen al ados Rambam. He always spoke about the Rambam. V'kach haya osa. Haya potach et ha'gmara, kore et ha'sugya, achakach haya omek ha'dvarim haya lezer, perush shor shal avi ha'balei ha'tosfos. Achshav na'ayen na b'Rambam menira eich pireshu. Tamid haya Abba motzei ki ha'Rambam lo piresh kamotam. ונתם מן הדרך הפשוטה. אבא מורי היה אומר כמעט בתלונה על הרמב״ם, as though almost plaintively complaining. אין אנו מבינים לא את הסברה של רבנו ולא את אופן ביורו את הסוגיה. And he goes on to describe. Then he says, and this is on the top of page 232, if you have it, I will say, חוויה זו שייכת לימי ילדותי. This experience belongs to my childhood. אבל בכל זאת, היא לא פנטזיה של זהב של נער קטן. It's not a golden fantasy of a young child. Ein hagasha zo begeder mystika, nor is this feeling a mystical feeling. He mitziut psychologet historit gemura, shechaya gam achshav im kein nishmati. It's a psychological, historical reality, a full-fledged psychological, historical reality that lives now as well in the depths of my soul. Kshani yoshev l'mod, when I sit down to learn, hinni nimtza tekev u'miyad, I find myself immediately b'chaburat chachmei ha-masora. I find myself in a group of the Chachmei HaMasora. Hayachas b'neinu hu ishi. The relationship is a personal one. HaRambam imini, the Rambam is to my right, HaBenatam yismali, HaBenatam to the left, Rashi yoshev barosh u'mefaresh. Rashi sits at the head of the table and mefaresh in the transcriptions of the Rav's comments and kinos. He says something, half-level fellow. He says, you know, the Rambam, it's almost impossible to exaggerate how much the Rambam enriched our world, the world of Torah. And to imagine the world of Torah without the Rambam, just how impoverished it would be. But we could still learn. He says, if you try to imagine the world without Rashi, you couldn't learn. Try. I think that Rav says that he and his father once experimented. Try opening a Avad Gemara and not looking at Rashi. You can't learn. We wouldn't be able to learn. Talmud Torah would be sealed. The doors to the Beis Medrash would be bolted. And we wouldn't be able to get in. That's why Rashi is Yoshev Rosh. The Rambam's at the table. Rambam's at the table. But the one who sits at the head of the table is Rashi. Rashi Yoshev Rosh Mefaresh. And Taka, but we don't have Rashi, it's a different story. You have in one or two Masechet in Bavli also, but remember Rav Zaksa von Levracha once, he learned for a year in Torah Vadas with Shlomo Hyman, who was then the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, and they were once struggling on a Yerushalmi. And at one point, he said, Rav Shlomo Hyman gave a krecht and said, the Tzar is on Mehob Nishkin Rashi. The Tzar is, we can't learn Yerushalmi because we don't have Rashi. There's no, when you learn Yerushalmi, there's no simple pshat in Yerushalmi a lot of the time. And what the Mefarshe Yerushalmi say, something is mamish v'na katsa ala katsa. The Tzar is, it's Mohabin Ishkan Rashi. So Rashi Yoshev Barosh Mefaresh. That's why, you know, in the Rav's room, the Rav's study, the one who sat at the head of the table was Rashi. Rashi Yoshev Barosh Mefaresh, V'en Tham Maksheh, Rambam Posek, Haravid Masig. Kulam heim b'chadriya katan. They're all in my small room, my small study. Yoshvim saviv l'shulchani, sitting around my table. Heim mabitim alai b'chiva. They look upon me with endearingly. Mishtasheim imi b'svara b'gmara. Partaking in the delight of Maso Mato and Shel Torah, Ma'odedim u'machaskem oti ka'av, that they encourage me and give me chizuk like a father. Ein Talmud Torah rak pu'ula didactic, it's not just a didactic action. Ein esek b'divrei Torah rak inyan formali techni hamidgashem b'hamtza'ot v'chiluf yidiot. That's, again, and all this, the way to understand it, the way to demystify this, and as the Rav insists, that it's not something mystical, is because, again, Talmud Torah on its real level, on its highest level, is something which is creative. Creativity is inseparable from individuality. So when the Rav's learning, so Rabbeinu Tam is there, and the Rambam is there. It's not just words on the page. Ka'amor, HaRambam Hayacha Veiri, lo rak b'shnat ha'yeldut. As said earlier, the Rambam was my friend not only in the years of my youth, gam achshav anol chaverim. Now too we are friends. Ha'hevdel, the difference between chavayati ha'yaldutit v'chavayati ha'achshavit, between my childhood experience and my current experience, mitbatei rak b'prat echad. This is one difference. B'yaldutit rak ha'rambam ha'yachaviri. I only had one friend, the Rambam. Achshav ha'charusa gadla v'kolalat harbeh. I have many more friends. Kol chachmei masor mimos Moshe adhena hidyadudu imi v'hema re'ai v'chaveray. K'shani me'yashev divrei HaRambam o HaRabbeinu Tam, if I say a teretz for HaRambam, for HaRabbeinu Tam that we didn't understand, henani ro'et p'neihem hame'irot, I see their shining faces, hame'biot nachat ruach, which express contentment. Hinni margish tamid kiilu HaRambam v'HaRabbeinu Tam ma'anikim li nishikot al mitzchi, they're giving me kisses on my forehead, v'lochatzim et yadi, and shaking my hand. Kamor ein ze dimyon, this is not a flight of imagination. Zoi chavaya amuka ma'od, it's a deep experience. Zoi chavayat masor tor shebal peh. That's what the Rav is describing here in these one or two English sentences also. That's what it means, that it's a miracle of transmigration of great experiences, because you encounter the individual in his creativity, in the Divrei Torah. I think there's a letter from Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin was the Nitziv's oldest son from his first wife. And his first wife died, and then he remarried later in life. So the difference in age between his children was, I believe, 50 years. I think Chaim Berlin, who was the Rebbe in Moscow, and then later went to, was Rebbe in Yerushalayim, he moved out to Israel, and then the youngest was Reb Meir Berlin, as in Bar Ilan, Rehov Universita. So there was a 50-year difference between them. So there's a letter from Chaim Berlin where he said that after the Netziv's Ptira, so he got many, many requests, and people were urging and pushing and pressuring that he should write a biographical sketch of the Netziv. And he said, I resisted, because he said my father didn't like that. And he then illustrated as follows. He said, of all the achronim, so his father was most oduk in the Torah of Kivegim. So that's, it was just totally bound up and with the Torah of Kivegim. Someone had written some kind of biography of Kivegim, said he wouldn't open it. He said, no, Kivegim is in the Jewish Chiddush. Kivegim is in Agos and Shulchan Aruch. He's not in this book. So he wouldn't open it. A miracle of transmigration of great experiences. If the biography is done by preserving certain Maisarav, so then there's a lot that you do get from. And I guess that wasn't, I don't know if it's completely didn't open up, but the story is a beautiful story and there's what to learn from it, but it doesn't necessarily translate into a psak halach in terms of. In terms of biographies, is Masorah, the foundation of halacha, is not a didactic, technical, abstract business, but a personal affair, a dialogue of souls, a miracle of transmigration of great experiences, an exchange of word and response in full intimacy. For there is style and character to it. Again, creativity is inseparable from individuality. Halacha noesis is a great experience replete with all the peculiarities of the ineffable personality. Again, the same point. Of course there's objectivity and stability in the halacha, yet these do not preclude diversity and heterogeneity as to methods and objectives. Everyone is dealing with the same Torah, the same Perushim Kubalim, everything that's been revealed in terms of black and white and the cumulative Masorah. Of course there's objectivity and stability in the halacha. Yet, in terms of then, when a shaila comes up, or how to say pshat in something, it doesn't preclude the difference. The Malatanya quotes in Tanya, I think he's quoting a Zohar Kodesh, he says, he expresses this idea in mystical terms, but it's the same idea on multiple levels, on multiple parallel levels. He says, how did it work out that with a handful of exceptions, Beis Shammai was always Machmir and Beis Hillel was always Veikel? How did that? You know, Beis Shammai didn't set out to be Machmir, Beis Hillel didn't say it's, set out to be Veikel. You know, if you spin a die, you know, what are the odds that, you know, one person's going to spin and always get the six, and the other one's going to spin and always get the one? And how does that work? So he says that whatever this means, that in Shamayim, you know, where the neshamas come from, there are sort of different storehouses of neshamas in Shamayim. There are some that are on the right, where the neshama is more rooted in chesed, and then there's some on the left where the neshamas are more rooted in din. And the neshamas of Beis Hillel came from one place, and the neshamas of Beis Shammai came from another place. Meaning, ultimately, when you have, again, when you're dealing with the same, the Bein of Yehuda had all the same Torah, all the same Perushim, Mekubalim, and everything, and Rav Meir sees it this way, Rav Yehuda sees it another way. There's just something, the way the Baal HaTanya says it, based on the Zohar, is there something in the Shorash HaNeshama at that point. That's what the Rav means in terms of the diversity and heterogeneity. It doesn't mean subjectivity in terms of being Meshuchad, in terms of, what historical epic one lived in, or those kinds of things. The same idea might be formulated differently by two scholars, the identical word accented differently by two speakers, the same letter written differently by two scribes. Right? No two people have identical handwritings. Even that's, again, on a very basic level, a creative act. And halacha, regardless of its identic content, could also be expressed in a variety of ways. Halacha mirrors personalities, it reflects individuated modi existentiae, and it conveys a message otherwise inexpressible. Okay, the next paragraph also needs an arichah, so we'll just talk to you.